It's to the best of our knowledge. I'm Anne Strange Amps. Dreams come and go much of the night while we're asleep. Those strange, flickering scenes of places that don't exist and things that haven't happened. Most of them disappear as soon as we wake up. Except for the big dreams.
A big dream, we all have them, is a dream that you'll never forget. And I had this dream some years ago, a few weeks after my father passed away.
This is psychologist and sleep expert Ruben Naaman. He's a specialist in dreams.
I was in an airport terminal, and I was being chased by a man in a trench coat. I thought he was a Russian spy, and he wanted to kill me. Running. It was a nightmare. I mean, I was scared to death, and I end up running into a men's room. And he follows me. And he puts a gun to my head. And I turn around and I look at his face. It's my father. He reaches over and opens a bathroom stall, which is filled from the floor to the ceiling with chicken manure. And he says to me, "Put that in your pipe and smoke it."
What do you do with that?
Well, it's also, what did that do with me?
Yeah, right.
It shook me up. And, you know, what I realized over time in the other related dreams, manure is a form of what we, in dream work, we call it negrito. It's black primal substance. It's mud and it's stuff that's pretty distasteful. But when it shows up in a dream, it's new growth. Hmm. And so what I got was, he was cognizant that I was carrying a lot of stuff psychologically. And put that in your pipe and smoke it is a metaphor for transforming. It's an alchemical transformation of this dark manure that I needed to keep growing and transform some of the darkness in my life. Hmm. It was a great blessing.
I had a recurrent negative dream, dark dream, that I never could figure out. I never knew when it would show up again. Hmm. The actual events changed, but the motif was always the same. I would be in my house, and there would be some room that I hadn't really seen that would lead to the backyard. And the backyard, it would turn out, had an enormous, enormous pool. Almost a subterranean, hidden, dark pool of water that was filled with noxious things, beings, poisonous plants, sewage. And there was this feeling of, I don't know what we will ever do with this. Nothing will ever drain this. It's here forever. I don't know what to do with it. And then I would wake up.
Wow.
It scared the hell out of me. It still scares me. If I have it, I think it's telling me that there are dark, terrible things in my unconscious or subconscious that I'm not dealing with. Some large cancerous lesion hidden somewhere in my body. I don't know what to do with a scary dream like that.
Well, as you're sharing that, your pool reminded me of the chicken manure. They're both negrita. They're both shadow images. So Jung wrote a lot about shadow, and he said shadow is everything we wish not to be. But you know, the essence of shadow work is we find the most precious gem in this deep, dark, black, compressed place. It's just considering the possibility that there may be something at the bottom of that pool that's really beautiful and valuable.
Maybe instead of running away or slamming the door on the pool, maybe I approach.
Maybe you go swimming.
Maybe. So I have wanted to talk with Ruben Naaman about dreams for years. 8 years, in fact. That's how long it's been since I heard him give a talk about why we are desperately in need of a dream renaissance. a collective return to dreaming. I remember some of what he said hit me so strongly that I actually jotted down a couple of quotations, and I've been carrying them around in my phone ever since. I wanted to start by asking you about one, which is, you said, we're in the midst of a silent epidemic of REM sleep deprivation. Mm. Our culture isn't dreaming enough. Would you still say the same today?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We are in the midst of a silent epidemic of dream loss. And in fact, it may well be that most of what we consider sleep loss is actually dream loss.
Oh, wow.
And the reason for that is most insomnia occurs in the last part of the night. Hmm. And that's when we're doing most of our dreaming.
There's so much medical concern about America's sleep problems. The last I checked, the CDC says 1 out of 3 of us aren't sleeping enough. But the list of concerns is always the health risks, obesity and heart disease and early aging. You never see not dreaming enough or dream loss on that list. Right. Why not?
That's a great question. Sleep medicine, sleep science has done a tremendous amount in teaching us about sleep, but they have forgotten the sleeper, the subjective experience of sleep. And if you have an evaluation by a sleep doctor, an overnight study or a face-to-face clinical interview, they will rarely ask you about your dreaming. And I think one of the reasons for that is there is a discomfort with the unconscious. And the loss of dreams, by the way, the ramifications of that are pretty profound. In addition to some of what we attribute to sleep loss, you talked about cardiovascular problems. There are problems with memory associated with dream loss. But dreaming down-regulates negative emotion. And Rosalind Cartwright, who was a renowned dream researcher, made the point that dreaming was a kind of endogenous psychotherapy.
Really?
There's some fascinating parallels between what goes on in what I consider good therapy and what goes on in the dreaming brain or the dreaming psyche at night. And the bottom line is dreaming is an antidepressant. It downregulates mood disorders. So people who dream well are less depressed and they're less anxious during the day.
Wow. So why would that be? I mean, from a neuroscience perspective, I've heard for years that dreaming is kind of like a meaningless side effect of REM sleep. It's just like the brain hiccup. But you're suggesting dreaming actually has a really important physiological purpose?
Physiological, yes. And I would say even more important, psychological, and for lack of a better term, psychospiritual. You know, the backdrop to this is when we downplay the role of dreaming, and we've done that with sleep for a long time, what happens is waking dominates. And we are wake-centric. Hmm. Similar to ethnocentrism, we believe that waking is the gold standard for consciousness. And if you have waking that is not modulated or tempered in a rhythmic fashion by sleep and dreams, it's runaway. And we are, as a culture, we're hyper-aroused. This is sort of hidden in plain view. I was just in California, and I used to live there, and I love it. But, you know, you can't not speed on the freeway because everybody is going above the speed limit. And I think it's true with the psychological pace of life. Mm. We're a hyper-aroused culture.
You know, you said there's some evidence that dreaming downregulates negative emotion and that dreaming is kind of the body's own built-in form of psychotherapy.
Yes.
Which is really interesting because a lot of the medications that people take for depression today, notably SSRIs, suppress dreams. Am I right?
They do suppress dreaming. Antidepressants, anti-anxiety agents, there are roughly 30 million Americans using each of those, and there may be some overlap. Alcohol use disorder, we have roughly 10%, 30 million people with that. The use of anticholinergics, medications, also suppress dreaming. When you total all of that, we're looking at least tens and tens of millions of people who have compromised dreaming at night.
Wow. I know you're working on thinking about dream hygiene, that is, ways to improve our dream lives. And I imagine those could benefit anybody, whether they're taking SSRIs or not. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you'd suggest?
First on the list, not a surprise, is that we have to sleep well in order to dream well. There's newer data on this that's fascinating. More important than the total number of hours you sleep is having regularity in your sleep schedule. So that's number one. I think we're sort of hinting at this, but looking at any ways you can replace REM suppressant agents is important. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, I think developing a personal relationship with dreaming, with that part of oneself, and that may involve some dream journaling, maybe getting support in a community dream group, really interesting things happen. I've run a lot of dream groups over the years, and it's fascinating when people come together. We typically don't bring our world identity. You know, I'm so-and-so, and I do this, and I have three kids. People show up, and they start sharing their dreams, and something really interesting happens over time. We have a sense of deep intimacy without knowing who we are in the world, but something else happens, and almost always in a matter of 2 or 3 months, somebody will start to talk about a dream that they had mentioned to the group weeks ago. You know, when I talked about this dream, you know, it reminded me of that. And someone else will chime in and say, hey, by the way, excuse me, that was my dream.
Huh.
And it sounds a tad psychotic, doesn't it? But there is something beautiful that happens around empathy.
Hmm.
So when you look at dreaming itself, when we are in a dream, we become a lot more permeable. I can be me in the dream and I can be you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Independently of whatever we dream about, that experience of dreaming is practice and greater empathy. And it appears that that's carried into waking life. We have data on people who are participants in dream groups, and we know that that increases empathy, listening to each other's dreams. So back to the question of the impact on culture, my God, we're in a pretty divisive time nowadays. And mm-hmm. You know, we look at this as being primarily political, and that's how it manifests. But I think when we dream and we share dreams, we connect with other dreamers, it takes us to a place of recognizing a deeper commonality among all of us, a deeper humanity, which is, it's hard to define. It's consciousness, you know?
That's Ruben Naaman, a clinical psychologist and sleep and dream specialist who works at the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona.